but I own all the utilities, so it's actually times 10.
Board Games on 95BFM. Our weekly chat with Waitemata local board head Pippa Coombe.
Indeed, it is that time of the show. We are in board games, playing board games with Pippa Coombe and Adriana Christie, who both joined us in studio last week to discuss the run-in to the election, what changes, what's on people's minds, what should be on people's minds, and what, yeah, the Auckland conversations as well. We had a bit of a chat about, and we kind of started by asking what the run-in to the upcoming local body elections looks like for the current members of the Waitemata local board.
Well, some things continue as business as usual. So we're both on the local board, the Waitemata local board representing Central Auckland, and we've just signed off our work program for the year ahead. And there's a lot of good things in there that we're focusing on, particularly around arts, parks and the community. So just some examples from that, we've got a new position that's come up as an art space broker that's going to be based at Toi Tū Studio One. And we're looking to invest more into TAPAC, the Centre for Performing Arts, and we've got some big playground renewals coming on as well. I mean, they're more than renewals, they're going to be amazingly transformed playgrounds. But Adriana might want to say something about kind of what it means in terms of the election building up.
Well, obviously that's more time that you have to go out and engage more with the community. It's some really interesting times coming ahead, because obviously there's a lot of people who have been in the board for many years and for many terms that are actually retiring or moving forward, like Pippa is, who's standing for council. And that means that both Richard and I need to find a way to continue with all the good work that has been happening. And obviously it gets you quite nervous, because you need to remember a lot of things and you need to, you know, be assertive with what you promise the community, with what you can deliver. But it's fun. It's fun times.
As you said, you're getting out and about and amongst the community a bit more. What does a day out with the community look like for you guys?
Well, in terms of being on the election campaign, we're both campaigning as part of a City Vision team, and we're doing door knocking across the local board area in the ward. And that's a really good opportunity just to find out on the street what people are feeling about council and what their issues are that are sort of top of mind. So that literally is going door to door and knocking and just saying hi to people. And if they want to have a chat, we're there to do it. Otherwise, we can move on to the next house.
Yeah, we also do something. I've been doing funny tactics, like going to parties and having enrollment forms in my bag and asking people if they've enrolled to vote, you know, doing things differently.
What have been some of the main conversations that you've had out and about so far?
Well, I think some of the top of mind things, people are concerned about the high cost of living in Auckland and what it is to be like a renter, housing security. In terms of stuff that the local board does, it's very much around issues like maintenance, ensuring, you know, our streets look good. Parking is always a top big one that you hear about, particularly in the inner suburbs.
Lots of people want, obviously, more trees around the area. That's a big one. And Pippa just nailed it with the maintenance and streetscapes. So everything's... obviously, homelessness is a huge mm-hmm. topic. And it's something that lots of Aucklanders would like to have it solved by now. I'm constantly being approached by different members of the community that want to get involved because they can't stand seeing more people sleeping out on the streets.
As you kind of noted, there's kind of two types of conversation in terms of a lot of people bring issues to the table that may not be kind of in your direct jurisdiction as local board politicians or local politicians. What do you do with that information, and what can you do to act upon people talking about, say, housing security or renting or homelessness that may not be traditionally local body politics?
Yeah. Well, when it becomes to the bigger issues, particularly, say, homelessness, we have an advocacy role, and that's trying to ensure that we provide the emergency housing that's needed. So we've had a big role in getting the funding for the Auckland City Mission, have received a grant of $5 million is going into their home ground project, which is going to well, it's under construction now. It's about 230 emergency apartments are being built on Hobson Street. So that was our role, was just ensuring that got support from council overall. And then we've also been funding some smaller initiatives that help, say, LifeWise deliver the services that they do. And we've also just funded, put some funding into Sunday Blessings that are on Lawn Street every Sunday and serve a free meal.
Yeah, and also we've made sure that we can offer certain facilities to people. And for example, in the Ella Melville Centre, we allow homeless people to shower, and we're trying to find ways to support the studies that are currently out there to reach basic amenities.
And talking about upgrades and facilities and stuff, you've been, as you said at the start, the top of the show, discussing upgrades in parks and playgrounds and stuff, which seems to be quite a large part of what local boards do. And so some names I saw, like Althwaite Park. Why is it important to upgrade our parks?
What most impacted me when I was young was being impacted by the playground that was opened close to my house, because I started becoming active. And recently, through to research and reading about play and open play, there's play strategies, and there's finding mechanisms of being able to spark curiosity and play. And playgrounds and green spaces are beautiful channels so that people can actually start getting active and start interacting with nature more.
Mm. I think another part of it too is that when people see playgrounds run down in their neighbourhood, they think that council doesn't care. And it's a bit of a beacon for the neighbourhood, that if you can upgrade the playground and people feel proud of it, then it makes them feel more connected to their community.
Another initiative I saw around the parks and playgrounds was the introduction, I think, of Māori names for parks in the Waitemata Local Board. Can you give us a bit more detail about what this is and why it's important, or why you guys think it's important? Yeah.
So this is a newish program that's been initiated with Mana Whenua, and many local boards have signed up to it. It's called Te Kite Rokoroko, and we're looking at what the program is about, putting in place and reviving the te reo names. Many of them are already there, but they're just not known, or it might be looking at new Māori names. So, for example, in our parks, we've got Western Park. That area is known as Tunamoe, is the dual name, and it is on some of the signage, but it's not official. Or the domain is Pukekawa. We're trying to resurrect some of those traditional names and also rename some places.
Exciting. Another thing you guys mentioned just before, when you talked about what people are bringing to the conversation when you're going around, is kind of looking at streetscapes and upgrading how the city is. A couple of nights ago, there was the Our Auckland Conversations, which is kind of a conversation about the future of Auckland, I think, is a fair one. And the main topic for this round was density, I believe. Mm-hmm. Did either of you make it along to that?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Auckland Conversations. There's always something to learn and a big turnout of people, and anyone can register to go along. So the topic this time was, is density a dirty word? So it was examining that idea that we need a range of housing choices, and particularly for younger people, because we need to plan Auckland around what the next generation needs. And so on the panel, there were two rangatahi who are part of Parakore, ki te rangatahi of Tamaki Makaurau, and they're these awesome young women who are really putting it out there in terms of what needs to be built in Auckland that will be for them in the future.
Do you guys have any thoughts about, you know, like the progression of density? I think there was a quote from one of the lead planners at council recently of why it's difficult to achieve density in Auckland, because we have so many hills and the roads are curvy.
Yeah, I don't think he was just saying it was more of a challenge because we don't have a traditional grid that you have in, say, European cities or even North American cities. Right. So we have a different topography, but it might be a challenge, but it doesn't mean to say we shouldn't do it, because there's huge demand for more, particularly medium density housing that provides a community as well.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of the discussion.
And it's important to highlight that even though there is a housing crisis and we need to create buildings fit for future, it's best to create density within the current footprint instead of expanding the city, because that means that we're going to start taking over agricultural land like in Pukekohe and in Hamilton and Waikato areas, and it's really important that we actually start protecting that land because it already has a purpose. And if we just keep on wanting to maintain this big house, big backyard lifestyle, we won't be able to target our resources or clean our waters or anything.
Yeah, and that absolutely came up in terms of, we've just declared a climate emergency. Well, we've got to respond to that in every way, in that housing, transport, the environment, and one of those is we just can't keep sprawling. So it was a really interesting discussion.
One last thing on that. I think a lot of people, when they think about high density housing, at least they kind of feel that everyone lives in shoe boxes and kind of community gets destroyed. How do you think we can keep communities together, especially in Waitemata, where it's kind of more of a central? How do we find that balance of maintaining communities in high density areas?
Well, that's the importance of ensuring that community facilities are put in at the same time. I mean, a lot of sprawl went in without those community facilities, and we've got to make sure we don't do that as well where we build on brownfield sites. So it is ensuring that there's open space, that there's places to congregate, access to shops and services, and so that all needs to be part of the planning.
Yeah, the local board takes a really important role in doing these things. Like, for example, one of our main priority project for this term was turning 254 Ponsonby Road into a community civic space so that the community could actually utilize it. And there's also a lot of community-led initiatives that have been presented to the board, like creating fruit forests and more gardens, and all of that actually helps sustain that urban living.
One interesting part of the Auckland conversation was a discussion around the fact that it's older people who always submit into council and have a bigger say, and the importance of young people being heard. And in fact, there was one comment that perhaps, you know, some processes over 60 should be banned. I mean, I wouldn't support that, but definitely it's really, really important for young people to give feedback into processes so that we are planning for the future of young people.
That's not a ladder, that's an upside down snake. Board games on 95 BFM.